We'll start here. This shiur is in memory of Miriam's father. Name was?
Levi ben
Shraga Faivish. It should be Aliyah for his neshama. He was nifter on the first of Elul. So I said it was going to be an Elul-related shiur. And hopefully the learning that we do and the benefit, the spiritual uplifting that we get should be an Aliyah to his neshama. His name was 3 years ago. And time does fly. And that's one of the common denominators between a yard site and the Rosh Hashanah is it causes us to do some introspection. You just said it to yourself. Miriam said, you know, I hope I'm doing something meaningful. And of course, reported it to your daughter and said, we hope so too. So, but even more than that, Elul is also a time. Rosh Hashanah is also a time where we have to turn to introspection and trying to reevaluate and look back at the year. You know, when you look back at when you have to suffer a loss, when you lose a loved one, so that's a much, much larger introspection, much, much larger looking back. But even so, it's a time of reflection. It's a time, Elul is a time where we have to start to look back and reflect and think about the coming year, think about the past year. And we're going to talk about that in the context of the Parshat HaShavua, two sense of Parshat HaShavua. So now we're going to learn Parshanim that we only sometimes learn. Then we're going to learn a couple that I never talk about, that I've been exposed to recently. More of a Hasidic event, so you'll be happy. Okay. So we're going to do, actually, the beginning of this week's Parsha, and then harken back to a piece in last week's Parsha, and see if there's a common denominator between them, and see if we can understand them. So turn to the beginning of Ki Tetzei, Perek Chaf Aleph, chapter 21 in Dvarim. Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud. Oh, there's more information. Send them down. Yud, beginning of Parshat Ki Tetzei. Okay. Parshat Ki Tetzei tells the story of the Yifat Toar. Yifat Toar, the beautiful, enticing woman. Says the Torah, Ki Tetzei la milchama al oivecha, unetano Hashem elokecha beyadecha, v'shavita shivyo. If you go out to war against your enemy, and Hashem, your God, gives him into your hand, v'shavita shivyo, and you take a captive. V'ra'ita b'shivya eshet yifat to'ar, and you see in your captivity, eshet yifat to'ar, a woman of
nice description.
Okay. V'chashakta ba, and you desire her, v'lakachta lecha li'isha, and you should take her as a wife. And you take her as a wife. Vaha veita el toch beitecha, and you shall bring her to your house. V'gilcha et rosha v'asata et tziporneha, and you must shave off her head, and cut her nails. V'heisira et simlat shivya me'aleh, you should take off her dress of captivity from honor. V'yashva beveitecha u'bachta et aviya ve'etima yerach yamim, and she should sit in your house and cry for her mother and her father, yerach yamim, a month's time. V'achar kein tavo eile u'be'alta v'ayta lecha li'isha. And afterwards, you may come to her. You may bring her to you as wife, as a husband and wife, and she should be as your wife. V'haya im lo chafat saba. And what if you don't like her? V'shilachta le'nafsha u'macholam tikim karena bakasef. You must send her away. Lo tit amer ba. You may not. User, right? Is this a prophet?
It's to deal with her as a slave.
Okay. Tachat asher inita, because you have afflicted her, you have captured her. Okay. The story of the Yifat Toar, very, very strange story. You go to war, you win the war, see a nice looking girl, take the girl and marry her. Very, very, very strange. What in the world is going on? So if you look at Rashi, I'm just going to pick out a couple of interesting Rashis. Rashi says, like, why in the world would you be able to, how should you take her as a wife? So it says Rashi on Yud Aleph, Lakachta lecha li'isha, Lo dibra Torah ela keneged yetzer hara. Right? Here, this is not something that you should do. This is something that you may do. The Torah is now reflecting, responding to your yetzer hara. She'im en hakadosh baruch hu matira, if God doesn't permit, yisa'en avi isur, then you will marry her in a forbidden way. You will take her in a forbidden way. Aval im nasa, but understand, if you marry her, Sofo liot sinua. You will hate her. Shenamar harav kitiyena leish. The next parsha, the next section is if you have two wives, one you love and one you don't love. So how in the world does it happen that you have two wives, one you love and one you don't love? Why should you have? So the answer is because one of them you took as yifat tar during the war. Right, maybe that's not the way maybe you want to pick your wives, okay? Ben Sorer Moren. The next section, the section after that is the Ben Sorer Moren, the wayward son. So he says, if you take the Yafat Toar, Rashi says, then what's going to happen is you're going to end up hating her, and you're going to have a child from her, and that child is going to understand that you hate her, his mother, and he's going to be a wayward child. He's going to be a wayward son. Rebellious son. He's going to go against the ways of the Torah. And how does it all start? What's the motivation? What's the thing that prompted the whole thing in the first place? Yetzer hara. Keneged yetzer hara, pasuka Torah medaber lo dibra Torah keneged yetzer hara. That there are sometimes things we do, we have to understand, I think that this is lesson number one for Elul. Right? There are sometimes things we do that are keneged yetzer hara, and yetzer hara tells you to do something, and if you do it, if you follow through on it, there's going to be results. There's going to be repercussions. And the repercussions can sometimes take time to go down the road. And sometimes they're positive, sometimes they're negative. You know, sometimes, I'm sorry, but they have generations, Rashi says. So you took this woman, was it permitted? Was it forbidden? It was not forbidden. But the Torah only permitted it because the Torah knew it's something that you'd want to do.
But there's so many things that we'd want to do and the Torah says we can't do.
Right. Why specifically this one? I shouldn't even deal with that question. Why this case? Why specifically this case? So one of the answers that they give is that war in general is an untenable moral situation. Because we're taking normally good people. In fact, as we're going to see, we're going to read another section in a few minutes about going to war. So who are the people that go to war? Who do we send to war? What kind of soldiers do we send to war? You would think the most...
Not the married ones. The single.
Well, Matt didn't say, by the way, that's not true. It's not the married, it's not the newlyweds. Married ones. Okay?
Young, under a certain age.
Well, and we're going to see that it's specifically the people who are not afraid of sin. Right? Because if you're afraid that you sinned, then you shouldn't go to war, because maybe your sin will lead. So, what kind of people do you imagine? Like, you imagine, like, the big, tall, you know, whatever. But it's really not. It's the tzaddikim. What? All the tzaddikim chachamim, right? We think we live in an upside-down world. In the upside-down world, we think, well, if you're a Talmid Chacham, you don't go to war. Yeah. But in the Torah, it's exactly the opposite. Who are the people that have the most chut, that have, you know what I'm saying, if you believe...
Wait a minute, but maybe it's people who are... We always say that it shouldn't be people who are afraid of sin, because if you sin, then you're going to die in the war. But maybe you want people who aren't afraid of sin, because in war, sometimes you have to do things that seem questionable, and you don't want somebody having to sit and decide, am I going to sin or am I not, to just make the decision and go through.
Someone who's a devout person, devout people have less issue. If you feel that you're in a mechemet mitzvah, if you feel you're in a mechemet mitzvah, I think that person has less of an issue than someone who's like, I don't know, is this the right thing, is it not the right thing? You know, if you are religiously motivated, if you're passionate religiously, that's a great motivation to fight with great passion. So I think it's less of a problem as opposed to someone who comes with his own moral quandaries and says, I don't know, are we in this for the right reasons? That's, by the way, one of the great detractors, one of the things that, like, you know, Naftali Bennett talked about it. He said one of the things that bothered him the most from the Second Lebanon War was a sense of demoralization, a sense of lack of purpose. Like, what happened to us? Where are we? Why are we, you know, why are we in such a terrible situation? And he said one of the reasons, one of the things he felt so strongly about getting into politics, whether you agree with him or not, was this idea of creating this sense of unity again, the sense of chosenness. We're Am Yisrael. We have to have this sense of Am Yisrael. From the highest, all the way up into the highest levels. And that's what's missing. So the more you have a religious passion, the more you have a spiritual passion, the more you're going to fight, not the more you're going to doubt. So that person, though, it's one thing to fight the war. But after you fight the war, you're taking this person and placing him in a war zone is a hard place to be. All's fair in love and war. And this person, hopefully, you take your best yeshiva bachrim, you send them out to war, they fought, they believed in God, they won, and now they're mapping up. Right? So is it fair to expect him, that guy, to be able to overcome all of the yetzer hara that he is now going to encounter? We specifically don't want this person out there. So that's why he says, Dibra Torah, Keneged Yetzer Hara. You have to harness that yetzer hara. I want to point out, it's very unusual. Like this parsha is very unusual. Where else, Laura, you pointed it out, where else do we see this idea of Dibrak Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara? And where else do we find an allusion to the Yetzer Hara in the Torah?
Well, there are allusions to things that on a national level that were not necessarily ideal, like appointing a king and sending the Meraglim, that those were things that Hashem kind of gave into.
But if you wanted to do it. If you wanted to do it. Right, here it's very interesting. There's a direct allusion to Yetzer Hara. Torah said, I don't want you to do this, but I'm letting you if you want to. Okay, so this idea of Yetzer Hara, it's very relevant. We're going to see many of the Mefarshim pick up on this, that it's very relevant to this time of Elul. It's not by coincidence that we read these parshiot now. Right? Ki teiteh la melchama aloivecha, dibra Torah keneged Yetzer Hara. So how do you fight the Yetzer Hara? What are ways that we can find in order to fight the Yetzer Hara? And we'll see, that some of the Mefarshim take this on a much, much deeper level as well. Okay, so that's element A. Dibra Torah keneged Yetzer Hara. I want to point out something Rav Sarutskin said. I saw in his Naim Torah. I started appreciating his parsharut. He says, "V'ra'ita b'shivya eshet yifat toar." But just this is totally an aside. "V'chashakta ba v'lakachta lecha liisha." So why did you take this woman as a wife? Why did you take her? You wanted her. Cheshet. You desired her. He said, "What's the end of such a marriage?"
You won't desire her.
You won't desire her, right? Because in the end, v'im lo chapatz taba, it starts with v'chashak taba, cheshe, passion. But in the end, v'haya im lo chapatz taba. Yeah, he says that's the nature of physical passion.
I says when that's how they have to shave
their hair. Oh, so some of the parshim say one of two reasons: does she shave her hair? No, the idea is it's a big machlok. I think we've actually done this parsha, but I'm sure we've done it before.
Maybe we did do something about shaving.
Yeah, we did. Okay. So some of Farshim said, the question is the point of the Yifat Torah to prevent her? It's a big machlok in the Parshim.
No,
to prevent you from wanting to like her. The real question is, where is he allowed? It says, V'lakachta lecha li'isha, and you take her for a wife. Is that in like a large subheading? You take her for a wife. How? Quote. Do all this stuff. Right, and then you can marry her. Or, A, out in the heat of the battlefield, you somehow find a time and you know, there's this passionate interlude, and then you can bring her home and decide if you want to keep her or not.
After you've done, or maybe
yes.
She's still attracted to you.
Yes, decide maybe, okay, that was there, now bring her home. By the way, between you and me, can you imagine, you're like, honey, I'm home from the war, how was it? Great, I want you to meet Hagar. You know what I'm saying? She'll be staying with us. Just imagine that. How's that going to go over? So that's the big machloket. Is it v'lakachta aslecha liisha? You took her, and then in order to keep her, you have to bring her home and do all that stuff. And the point is, obviously, that the point of all the things she's doing is to devoid her, to remove the influence of the idolatry, of the outside influence of the culture from which she came. That's A. Or B, no, don't do this. The Yetzer Hara is telling you, you desire her, you want her. So how do you deal with the Yetzer Hara? This is, by the way, great. This is an important rule in general. How do you deal with the Yetzer Hara?
You find a way to make it wait.
Stall. Exactly right. Yes. I want that ice cream.
I was just going to say.
But I'll buy it now. Go for a walk. Put it in the freezer. Right, and then decide later if I really want it or not. Although ice cream is not a good example because the answer is going to be yes. Right. Although sometimes, yes, sometimes no. Sometimes, you know, you ever get like at a wedding and they have those beautiful looking cakes, you know, like, but they're only.
They always look better.
Margarine. Yes, they're only margarine. They always look better than they really taste. So when you're standing there, it's like, oh, I want that. So you bring it to the table and you sit down and it's like.
Jesse.
What?
Jesse.
Yeah. And then you realize. And then you realize this was designed to be looked at more than it was to be eaten. And it's not as good as, and you know, the stuff on the inside, you know, like everybody knows, homemade cake is 100% that's exactly right. Take off the outside. That's a good idea. Take off the outside icing and you realize this is not what I want. This is just not what I'm looking for. And if I'm going to eat something, I'm going to eat my homemade chocolate chip cookies.
That's why it makes me think was like a, in the end of the situation, that like they did what they did in the war.
Right.
And this was the way to make it kosher after the fact.
Well, if you did it, then you have to undo it. Then if it's a done.
Because who wants to marry?
But that's what I said. And that's like saying there's not even a need for that because they're not going to anyway. So that's almost like saying just do it and then you can decide either way if you want to take it.
No, that's the difference. The difference is, that's the difference. If you want to do it, understand that this isn't a one-shot deal.
But it's not even, you said you made it as if you decide after that. It's not even like,
did you first have
you have to bring her, you have to bring her home and decide. You have to bring her home.
Oh, but you say there's another way.
It's a machloket. It's okay, a really, it's a huge machloket about the nature, but it's a good lesson for us. I think the first lesson.
Don't bring her home if you don't want her.
What?
You only bring her home if you want her.
You can't just do what you want to do on the battlefield and then not bring her
home. You have to let her go. You can't sell her. You can't profit from her.
Can you sleep with her on the battlefield and just say bye?
I think so.
No, but you said it also.
Yeah, this is not our topic. I knew we'd get into an argument. Yes,
she
wanted. No, why did she? The point is, you didn't capture her. She, the woman in the battlefield, she dressed in this way specifically to entice you. The future. That's the idea. This yifatoa. Why is she yifatoa? Why is she yifatoa? Why is she? What's she doing there? Why is she dressed up? No, the point is v'asta b'gilcha et rosha, you shave her head. V'asta tziporneha, you make her change her clothes, take off. Meaning the idea was obviously, if don't get me wrong, but if she wasn't, if she didn't make herself beautiful, there are other fish in the sea, as it were. The point was.
Why would she want to buy this?
But the thing.
She wants to be saved. She doesn't want
Laura,
to be killed.
Laura, yes. Let's remember. What is life like for a refugee in wartime when her husband's killed and all the men are dead and the whole city's been decimated?
She just wants someone.
Right. She needs a future. You're thinking Western, modern.
I was actually thinking about like Vietnam, that whole thing.
Yeah.
There was a lot of this situation.
Yeah, why did they do that?
Did they bring them home and marry them? I don't know the history.
And sometimes they did. Sometimes they did, often they did not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the idea.
Even if they had to bring her home afterwards or whatever, they're still allowed to let her go.
Yeah, she had to let her go. They couldn't use her. They couldn't keep her. They couldn't use her as a slave. They wouldn't be. She wouldn't be like a captive.
Yeah,
if you marry her,
you didn't have to keep her as a wife either.
What's that?
You didn't have to keep her as a wife either.
You had to divorce her. But you had to divorce her. You couldn't just sell her as a slave. Yeah. So I just think lesson number one for our purposes, for Chodesh Elul and Tshuva in general, is it's great advice. The Yetzer Hara grabs you. It's v'chashakta, cheshek, desire. And the idea is, okay, don't do it, stall. I said, put it off. Because the difference, because what we really want to do in life is try to overcome our cheshek, our desire, our immediate desire, with our seichel. And seichel, intellect, is not something that happens immediately. It's once the initial passion, yearning, has waned, then you could really ask yourself, is this really something that I want to do? Is this really something that I want to have?
I
would totally agree with you. I wish I was more aware when I made my bracha. I totally agree with you. It's a great example. But we don't find it usually in the negative sense to prevent negative behavior. And here we have good advice. That's an illusion. That's a metaphor, right? For preventing this exact type of negative behavior. I think it's a great example. Okay. So, but I just want to quote that. Zayin Latorah. Sereskin says. He says that he felt that this is one of the reasons why there's so much divorce, at least in his time, which was like 30, 40, 50 years ago. Why is this proliferation of divorce? He said, because when young people eschew, and he was talking about even in his community, they reject the idea of shiduchim, and instead say, no, I have to fall in love. Like the idea of a chashakta ba. And instead of choosing someone who is intellectually the person for you, but you're going after your passion, so that passion wanes. Now, it's not saying that there isn't a need for passion. I know you're frowning already. It's not that passion is bad. Passion is great, but only if it emanates from the right place, from the sense of identity, from a real sense of shared mission and shared goals. But it's only the chashakta about what do you have in common with this Vietnamese woman on the side of the road? Nothing. Right? All you have is the physical desire. If that's what it is. We all know physical desire comes and goes. It wanes. We all get older. We're not the people that we were when we got married, and we're not going to be the people we are, God willing, in 20, 30 years either. But what's Solid is if it's something based on something real, on something foundational. Right? I think, and he says, it's an important issue, and you know that young people should be very sensitive to this. That cheshek is important, but it has to be secondary. Right? And you can have cheshek after you have a sense of a real foundation of a couplehood. Anyway, Chazal take this whole ki teitei lamilchama, not Chazal, the midrash mostly, but then more of what you would call the more nistar mefarshim. The more Kabbalistic, and I'm going obviously in the Hasidic direction. They take it in a different direction entirely, and they read this these psukim, especially, specifically in the direction of Elul. So they read it this way. It's an interesting question. The pasuk, go back to the beginning of the parsha. Ki teitzei lamilchama al oivecha. If you go out to war against your enemy. And the Lord your God gives him into your hand, and you take him as a captive. So many in the Farshim ask, even in the pasuk itself, what is that middle phrase? God puts him into your hand. In truth, what's the difference whether you win or not? What it should say is, if the whole point of the parsha is this Yifat Tovar, it should say, "Ki teitzei lamilchama al oivecha v'shavita shivyo." So, what is this interim part? So, based on that and many other things, they say, "Who is the oyev?" Yetzer hara, right? You've heard this before. Is that pretty famous? No, you never heard it. There you go. Right. That's right. You're a Hasidic family. Ki teitzei lamilchama. When you go out to war against your enemy, the enemy is the yetzer hara. Right, and God plays him in your hands, v'shavita shivya. And it makes sense actually, because this whole parsha is about the war against the Yetzer Hara. The Yifat Toar, the beautiful wife, is an allusion to the Yetzer Hara. The whole thing is Yetzer Hara. So they say, all I'm saying, that it's no coincidence that we read this parsha and yet last week's parsha at the beginning of Elul. Okay, v'ra'it was, and you see the bat shivya, blah blah blah. One second. So one of the things that Zohar says, interestingly enough, you take this Yifat Toar. She cries for her mother and her father, Yerech Yamim. Says the Zohar, Yerech Yamim, what is Yerech Yamim? Dahi Yercha de Elul. This is the month of Elul. In fact, why specifically a month? This is an allusion to the month of Elul that she cries. And we'll talk about it. I'll give you a perush. What does it mean that this crying, why does she cry for a month? You know, in order to, why specifically a month, and why is this a reference to the month of Elul?
What does this mean that Hashem gives the Yetzer Hara in your hands? What does that mean?
And is it plural? In the English, it's plural, and then it says.
Al oivecha.
Is that plural?
No.
Oyev
shelcha. Your enemies?
Yeah, no, in the English here it says you will go to war against your enemies.
What does it say in that one?
Yeah, also.
Same thing? Okay.
But it doesn't say that in the English.
It says oivecha.
Yeah, it is plural.
It is plural? How would you say singular? Oyevcha, oyevcha. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So in order to understand this even better, we're going to go back. Okay, turn back to the beginning of chapter 20. Because this isn't the only time you go to war.
Chapter 1. Can I just ask?
Yes.
Before you move on.
Chapter. We're going to come back.
Talking about plural, does
Netanyahu? I'm sorry. So your question actually
is Hashem giving you that?
Al oivecha unetano, and God puts him, your enemy.
The Yetzahara? What does that
the
mean?
The war unetano, the milchama.
Is he giving you the ability to fight? In other words, is he giving you the fight in your hands, or is he putting an enemy
for Hashem?
No, it's the enemy. Unetano, God places him, the enemy.
So Hashem's putting Yitzhara in your midst?
Of course. No, one second. We'll see. Let's go back in a second. We'll go back. Chapter 20. Because we're going to put it all together.
20?
Chapter 20, verse 1. Perakah. Ki teitzei la milchama al. Chapter 20. You got it? You there? Ki teitzei la milchama al oivecha. When you go out to war against your enemy, veraita sus varechev am rav mimcha loti ramehem, and you see horse, chariot, great nation greater than you, a huge army, do not fear. Ki Hashem Elokecha imach hamalcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because the Lord your God is with you, who has taken you out of Egypt. V'haya, and it will be kikar karvchem el hamilchama. And you draw close to the war. V'digash ha-kohen v'diber la'am. The Kohen comes and he speaks to the nation. V'amar lehem, Shema Yisrael. You think that there's a coincidence that he says Shema Yisrael? You know what I'm saying? There's a, hear, O Israel. You think that's just by coincidence? You should say, V'amar lehem, Atem Krevim. But what is he saying, Shema Yisrael? What's the, I think this. What's the allusion to? First, what's he saying? What? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Meaning, they're about to go to war. They're at the, on the eve of battle. They're standing at the edge of the battlefield. The Kohen is speaking to them. So what's the first message he says to them?
Everything's a faith.
That's right, everything's in Hashem.
So we deliver him into your hand. It's only if Hashem...
Only if Hashem wants it. That's absolutely correct. Atem krevim hayom lamilchama al oyveichem. You are drawing near to your enemy. Al yeirach levabchem. Your heart should not be softened. Al tiru, al tachbezu, al ta'atzu mipneihem. Do not fear. Do not tremble. What's the third one?
Don't be alarmed and don't be afraid.
Okay. Ki Hashem Elokeichem, hu haolech imachem lilachem lachem im oyveichem lahoshiatchem. Because God is going with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. First things first. You are traveling, you are going to out with God. So don't be afraid. V'dibru ha-shotim el ha'am le'mor, mi ha'ish asher banam bayit chadash v'lo chanacho, yelech v'yashov le'beito. Who is the person that built a new house this year? You should go home. En yamud b'milchama v'ish acher yachnechenu. Lest he die in war and someone else will consecrate it. It's not that we're afraid of that. It's that he's afraid of it. U'mi ha'ish asher natak kemer v'lo chilelo. So he planted a vineyard. Right? Nobody else, it's not fair, somebody else should benefit from your vineyard. If you married, betrothed the wife, and didn't marry her, go home, somebody else should marry her. Now the Kohen is done, by the way.
A minute, just to make the parallel between house, vineyard, woman.
Yes.
Property.
V'yasvu hashotrim ledaber el ha'am.
No, I think it's an important distinction to make.
I don't agree.
No, I think it's an important distinction to make that in the Torah that a marriage is as much like you were saying before that it's like the house and the vineyard and the wife. It's the property.
This is a bad
issue.
It's the joy.
I think it's just a question of his state of mind. His state of mind.
You're not focusing on the battle. You're thinking about
what's yours that's home that somebody else
might
take.
That's what
I'm saying. I don't.
Might take, but it means that you're
it's
more
than not
in the battle, no matter what.
You're okay. So the policemen will now continue. Mi ha'isha ha'yare v'racha levav yeshev v'yaloch lebeitov. If you are afraid, go home. V'lo yimas et levav ach echav kilavavo. Because fear is what? It's contagious. And if you are afraid, and it's true, on the battlefield, if you are afraid and you run, the guy next to you is going to run as well. And if you stand up and you are strong, the guy next to you is going to be strong as well. Okay, and then they would, you know, give out the battle plans. Let's go to the beginning again. What in the world is going on here? Like, why, you know, so the first is obviously in the chat level, that this is the halakha. The Rambam writes extensively about this idea. The person who goes out to battle has to have faith in God and faith that he's going out to fight for the Bnei Israel, for Am Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for a good and just cause. It's a mechemen mitzvah. And that's something that guides us. And so that refers to what I was saying, but what I said before. The more religious a person is, the more religiously passionate he is, the more religious, the more militarily motivated he's going to be. And we see this now. You know, they talk about all the idea that how many religious ketzinim there are in the army today.
Right? A lot or a little?
A lot, many. A huge percentage. Because they're specifically greatly motivated. They're motivated by their desire. They see this, and, you know, for years and years, we've been taught and preached the idea that serving the army is a mitzvah. Defending Am Yisrael is a mitzvah. It's something that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to do. Hashem wants Bnei Yisrael, Am Yisrael, to be in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a concession. It's not a b'diavad. It's something that's important to do. It is very interesting. I'll just note as an aside. You know, I was talking to about this with a friend of mine in America. There's a concept of hesder. Are you all aware what hesder is? Okay, what's hesder? So hesder is, so normally you serve, somebody who's drafted in the army has to serve 3 years. But if he's drafted and serves 3 years straight, then he can't learn. And this is also a formative time in a person's religious development as well. So they came up with a sort of compromise plan. So instead of 3 years, he would serve for 5 years. But a year and a half, approximately, a year and three quarters of that is army service, and three and a whatever years is learning in yeshiva. And that's been going on, I went to, you know, for 40 years, since the late 60s.
Is it spread out? Like, in between? Or
the year, they learn for a year and a half, and then after the middle of Shana Bet, they go to the army for a year and whatever. It used to be, when I was in yeshiva, it used to be split up. They would do 8 months and then 8 months. But the army said, you know, that doesn't work for us. So now it's not. Now it's just divided. You find an interesting phenomenon today. You find a phenomenon, I mean, there's all kinds, by the way, there's like 60 or 70, some crazy amount of Hesder Yeshivot in Israel today. It's a huge, huge movement. There's Yeshivot before the army, there's something called Yeshivot, there's a huge, huge choice of things to do. There's a phenomenon of a certain percentage of religious young men, they don't want to do Hesder. They want to go to they want to learn Yeshiva for a year or 2 years, and then they want to do 3 years in the army. And this is one of two reasons. One is because in Hesder, you don't get the good jobs. Because you're only serving for a year and 8 months. So they're not gonna train you if you're not gonna serve the full thing. There's also a movement, there's a certain percentage of young men that feel, one second, you told me this is a mitzvah. You told me this is something that's important to do. So why am I cutting short? Why is it okay that I only do less time? It's true Torah is important. But it's just a very interesting phenomenon because they're correct as well. We want our young people to feel that this is something that's important to do. This is something that's critical for them to do. That it's a mitzvah. Anyway, something to be aware of. So again, but here we have this idea of Kitetel Milchama Leivecha. Who's the Oyev again?
Yetzirah.
Right? And it's no coincidence. Parshat Shoftim, we read always right after Rosh Chodesh Elul. And right after Parsha Shoftim, Parsha Ki Tetzeh. That there's an allusion to this going out to battle. You just celebrated Rosh Chodesh Elul. Now Ki Tetzeh la Milchama Aloivecha. It's time to go to war against your enemy. Okay? So if that's true though, then this Parsha should be telling us something about how should we go to war. How do you fight? So now let's read, with that in mind, let's read the Psukim again. Ki Tetzeh la Milchama Aloivecha. When you go out to war against your enemy, who is?
Yetzirah.
V'ra'ita sus v'rechev am rav mimcha. So when a person first goes out and says, alright, it's time to do tshuva. It's time to repent, time to change my ways. And what's our first thought?
Well,
yeah, exactly.
It's too much.
How am I supposed to do this? There are so many reasons for me to not be successful in this fight that I have to fight. Whatever it is, we all have our we'll call them demons. We all have our personal things to overcome, but you see, sus v'rechev, horses and chariots, it's like, you know, this great army stacked up against you to make you lose. So what does the Torah say? Lo tiram mehem. Don't worry about them. Why? Ki Hashem Elokecha imach. Because Hashem is with you, Hama'alcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. What is this allusion to Eretz Mitzrayim?
It's the center of the Yetzer Hara.
What was our situation in Mitzrayim?
Not great.
Mm-hmm. It was as bad as it possibly could be, as we know. We were at, you know, the lowest of the low, right? Yeah. And nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled us out, kicking and screaming sometimes, and pulled us out. So if you understand that Hashem is with you, Hama Alcha, who took you out of Egypt, then what do you have to find? Worry about the Yetzer Hara. And Haya Kikar Vachem El HaMilchama, when you get close to the war, and then the Kohen comes and talks about the Shema Yisrael, Atem Krivim Hayom LeMilchama, Al Yerach LeBabchem, don't soften. You have to have fortitude and be strong. And not compromise. Al tach bezu mitnei, al tach tzu. Right? It has to be a sustained battle. You have to be ready to fight. It's not something that you can give up right away. So now I'm going to share with you, this is a book called Netivot Shalom, really Netivot Shalom. Okay. The Slonim Rebbe, this is not mine, this is, I borrowed it from Ashtul, nonetheless. So he has two sections here that are extremely relevant to our parasha. Actually, no, before we do the Slonim Rebbe, you guys have Or HaChaim? You have an Or HaChaim? You do. Or HaChaim on the first pasuk says, anytime you want to look in the Mikra Kedolot, you're looking for a little bit more Nister, you go to Or HaChaim, or sometimes Kli Akar also. He says here, Ulai Shiramaz HaKatuv, maybe this is an allusion to Melchemet HaAdam Al Yitzur. And he says explicitly, this is the fight against the Yitzur. Uba lahasir milvavo marucha. V'amar ki teite lamelchama hayidua she'en gedola mimenu. When you go out to the war, there is no greater war. Right, the hardest battle we ever fight is a battle against ourselves.
Right, it says hamelchama is what he's focusing on.
Where are you? Which milchama? So karvachem el hamelchama. Very nice.
He took aleph also. Ki teite lamelchama. He says hamelchama hayidua. That's what he says.
Ah, very good. Hamelchama, the war. Right, the fight. V'hine. There are two things that weaken us. I don't know how to fight. Right? We all feel that way. Okay, I want to fight, but I don't know how to do it. Okay. Your Yetzahara, he's good. Because that's all he does. But we don't know how to fight him. Bet. Harkavat Adam chuveket ivrei hayetzer b'chol asher yomar elav. The second thing is, the Yetzer Hara is constant. It's never ending. No matter what you do, he's always there. In yanei isur, forbidden ideas, lignov, stealing, ligzol, ulegaot, hardiness, vuleachol asher te'aver nafsho, anything you want to eat. And it makes it difficult to listen to the Torah. He says also understand that when we sin, when we stumble, we create kochot hara, we create negative forces. You could look at it in the sense of when we talked about the idea of the Yifat Torah, causes, everything has a cause, everything causes repercussions. But that's not how they saw it. They saw it just like when we do mitzvot, we perform mitzvot, we create kochot hatov, powerful angels. In the spiritual sense, when a person sins, he creates kochot hara. Okay? So what does it mean? Viraita sus varechev, am varav. Let's read it in a different way. You can read it one of two ways. And you see horse and chariot, am rav mimcha, a nation that's greater than you. But he said, read it a different way. V'ra'ita sus v'rechev am rav mimcha. Right? It's a great nation. Where did it come from, this great, these horses and chariots? From you. You made them. And you see them and you say, dear God, how am I supposed to do this? Right? It's a great reading of the psukim. L'zeh ba'dvar Hashem kan. This is why the word of God comes. I'm reading in the Kli Akar, in the Or HaChaim. If you go out to war, you see sus keneged mashu hayetzer. The horse is a yetzer. Sus muchan lamilchama, ashein kadam. The sus, the horse, is ready for war. Rechev keneged har kavat adam shenotev chokesh ledvarim. This idea that rechev, you are created. The yetzer hara is nirkav from the word grafted onto you. Af al pikein, I'm skipping two lines. Nonetheless, dibro ba dvaro hatov v'amar lo tira mehem. Nonetheless, says the Torah, don't fear. V'atam ki hu Hashem Elokecha imach. God is with you. Pirush hein emet. Ima itabal milcham ba b'kochachai. True, says Kli Akar, Or HaChaim. If you came by yourself, if you tried to fight this on your own, no way, you wouldn't win. Ein b'cha koach la'amod bin milchama zo. You're not going to win. Aval kivan she'Hashem Elokecha imach. But when Hashem is with you, Kocho gadol lahatzilcha. He has great power to save you. Ki kishaba adam, you maybe you've heard this phrase before. Kishaba adam litaher yemino yitparach mekablato. Minidibak lahashem for yachnia miyitzirav. Yitzirav. If you reach out to Hashem, it says, Haba litaher misayin lo. If you reach out to Hashem, if you reach out to Him and you want to be purified, God will help you. So He says, if you try to fight this war on your own, you're not going to be able to succeed. But if you understand that the secret to the success in this fight against the Yetzer Hara is reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is reaching beyond yourself, having faith in God, then you will succeed. That's lesson number 2, 3, I don't remember which one. Let's go on to the son of Rebbe. He has two beautiful ideas, two unbelievable ideas that we learn about this fight against the war. How to win. Okay? Okay. He says, Mashi dimta tarad milchameta yetzer v'milchama oivecha. The fact that they're compared, this fight against the yetzer, to the fight against the enemy, yesh lilmod mahem tachsisei ha-milchama, so now we can learn from this how to beat the war, how to fight the war, how to beat the battle, how to win in battle. Shnei ina inyanim ikariim al yadam yusag nitzachon. There's two general tactics you have to employ in order to win this fight. Reshit, first. Shachayalim anshei tzeva yu misurim v'ne'emanim b'lev v'nefesh. You have to be in it to win it. You can't be like, you know what I'm saying? What's the whole idea of if Rach Levav, you just built a house, you got married, you planted a vineyard. If your mind is somewhere else, if you're distracted and unfocused, you can't fight a war. You have to be singularly focused, directed towards the goal of winning the war. Hamesirut b'lev v'nefesh lehilachem zehu hakoach l'nitzachon b'milchama. Right? If you're going to go into Elul and say, yeah, you know, I probably should do something about this, but your heart is not really into it, so then you're going to get to Rosh Hashanah and nothing's going to have changed, because it's too hard a fight. Because the Yetzer Hara is constant, and the thing he's going to do is he, at the time that you're not in it 100%. He's already won. Va'ikar hasheni, and this is, I think, something very beautiful. Hu ha'emuna benitzachon. You have to believe you're going to win. Shetiyel anchei tzava emuna behira v'chazaka benitzachon. You have to have belief that you're going to win. V'ye barur lahem, and it should be clear to them, shevada yinatzchu b'milchama. That without a doubt they're going to win in war. Which is not true when the morale of an enemy is deflated. When they're weak and they don't think they're going to win, then you can't go out to war. And he says these are exactly the things that you have to find, that you have to have. Okay, with the war against the Yetzer Hara, you have to have A, the mesivut nefesh. One, and the second thing you have to have once that's one is mit nasud milchama. You have to fight the war. One second. Begam b'milchayemet hayetzer. One second. Here we go. Oh, he says like this. Sheim. If you are not focusing on your war, then you're going to lose. Ukemokein, similarly, someone who is afraid of his sins, he thinks in his heart, how can I win? You know how many times I've taken upon myself to become better in this specific area? Pick one. Everybody's got their own. Itetzei lamilchama, you, al oivecha, against your enemies. So a person says, it's an unwinnable war. Because every time, every year, I say I'm going to bench. Not going to forget benching. Forgot on my zone. And then every year, like, you know, sometime around Hanukkah time, I'm with my kids, and we're eating lunch, and we're rushing to something else, and I forgot to bench. And I say, you know what, forget it. And I say, I'm not a person who can make decisions, who can follow through on my decisions. And then he believes, I can't win. Then, let's say the mechama nitzachon. That person can't win. He won't win. I found when I read this on Shabbat, it's such a powerful message. First message is, Im Hashem Elokecha imach lo chasar to davar. When Hashem is with you, you can win. You have to believe that you can win, and then you have to fight with all your power in order to win. The fight against, and I think that's a beautiful message for the month of Elul. Right? Elul, you have a month to go. Well, you have 3 weeks to go. But the first thing we have to do is devote ourselves to say, okay, I'm in it to win it. I'm going to really fight this time. And if a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if I reach out to Hashem beyond myself, He will give me the strength to overcome a Yetzer Hara in whatever area it is, and I will win. But I love his second message, it's so much more powerful. And that's the message of optimism. Where by nature, I think part of our Yetzer Hara is to tell us, you're not going to win. Like, that's what he tells you. Says, don't bother. Because in the end, you're going to slip up anyway. And what the Torah is telling us is, it's not true. Don't believe it. We have to believe in ourselves. Because when we believe in ourselves, when we think we're going to win, we are going to win. He adds something actually quite interesting. He says something later on Ki Teitzei. He says, Ki Teitzei la milchama al oivecha, on your enemy. He says something fascinating. This is lesson number 4 or 5, I don't remember. Last one. L'chol adam yesh tafkid miyuchad tzarich limal'o. This relates to what you said, Miriam, in the beginning. You know, I hope I have accomplishments. Every individual has a specific tafkid, a specific mission that must be filled. U'l'shem kach ba le'olam. And that's why you were put in this world. V'ha'ot l'adat. So he says, okay, how do I know what my tafkid is? What's the way to know what my tafkid is? So he says, the way you know what your tafkid is what's the hardest thing for you to do? Ul'ot ladat ma'u tafkidu ha-miyuchad kishiru'e ha-davar bo mitgaber alav yetzeh ha-rabi yoteh v'kochot al-tivim ki teitzeh la-milchama al-oivecha. Where's your enemy? So some people, they just, you know, they don't have a yetzeh hara for, I don't know, forbidden food. They don't have Yetzer Hara for television. Some people have no Yetzer Hara for Lashon Hara. I'm just not interested in gossip. Some people are just not, that's not their thing. And you know what, that's great, and they shouldn't start doing that. But that means that's not their tafkid in life. It's not their mission. It's not their enemy. If you have something that you want to do, and you just can't bring yourself to do it, you just, somehow it's just not working out. That's the thing that you need to start working on. That's your oyev. That's when he sees kishurei davar bo mitgaber yetzer hara biyoter bekochot al tivim hare sheze oyvo miyuchad. That's your enemy. V'zoi anekuda shetafkido l'takna. That's your job to try to fix. Okay. Ukinegda tzvichal yed mechuvenet biikar milchama. He says, if the metaphor is, if the allegory is going out to war. So it's one thing to go out to war, you take your machine gun, to start spraying. There's only one problem. If you do that, who are you going to kill? Well, you're not going to kill anyone. You're going to run out of bullets. You can only fight so much. So what they teach you in war is how to shoot, hit. So he says, find oivecha, find your enemy, aim. Fight against that enemy, Unatano Hashem Elokecha biyadecha, and Hashem will give that enemy into your hands, v'shavita shivyo, and you will be able to capture him. Very, 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 so many very powerful messages just from these specific parshiyot. So we talked about the idea of cheshek, of desire versus seichel. We talked about the idea of ki teitzei lamelchama leivecha, the idea of going out against your enemy, of waging war, and of going out full bore, not compromising. If you're going to fight, you have to fight 100%. We spoke about the idea of optimism. We ended up with the idea of finding who your specific enemy is. And I think that all these ideas combined together, I find very much this idea of the ability of confidence, of self-confidence and faith in ourselves, to be such an important thing when it comes to tshuva, because so much of our focus here is on the negative. Overcoming negative inclinations, and I'm bad, I should improve this. But here, he talks about this idea of oyvecha, your enemy. Your enemy doesn't necessarily have to be something bad that you did do. Your enemy is very often the yetzer that prevents you from doing the thing that you should do and want to do. And that's really, when I read this, how I saw what he was referring to. We have a tafkid, and my tafkid not necessarily isn't not to speak Lashon Hara. My tafkid isn't necessarily not to do bad things. My tafkid is to do great things. It's to have great accomplishments in life. And sometimes our greatest yetzer is the thing that's pulling me back and saying to me, don't do it. For whatever reason. You don't have time, or you're busy, or you have so many other, you know what I'm saying? Or you won't accomplish it, it won't be successful. Sometimes that's our greatest enemy. And if you fight that enemy, finally, lesson number, whatever, 6, 7, Hashem Elokecha biyadecha, if you reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fight as hard as you can, 100% will be successful. So God willing, in the zchut of the Torah that we learned and the inspiration that we gave, it should be an aliyah for your father's neshama, and in his merit, we should all fight the good fight, win the war this year, and accomplish great things.